You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Welcome to our new series, everybody, Rebel Heart. We are so glad that you're here. Anybody excited about Jesus today? Come on, let's give our God some praise. Oh, it's so good to have you in church. We also want to welcome in all of our friends watching online. Let's give them a big, warm round of applause from all over the place. West Virginia, Arizona, people watching from Africa. Hello to our friends right there in Cameroon. We love you guys. Give them one more big round of family applause. Come on. Yeah. Hi, Mom and Dad watching from Mineral Wells. Happy anniversary. We love you guys, and I hope I make you proud. We're going to get right into God's Word today as we launch our brand new series called Rebel Heart. Somebody say, Rebel Heart. Rebel Heart. I'm so glad that you made it. Turn, if you wouldn't mind, in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18. We're going to take a quick trip back to the past. We're going to fire up the DeLorean. We're going to hit it up to 88 miles an hour. We're going to go back to the 80s. This is all about the 80s. For the next 10 weeks, we're going to be stuck in the 80s. The 80s was a very, very peculiar time, not only in church history, but in American history. Come on, somebody that was living through the 80s remembers. This was an amazing time because we were fighting and rebelling against everything. We're fighting the Cold War. We're fighting against AIDS. We're fighting against the Contras and cocaine and crack. We're fighting all kinds of different wars. We're fighting for our right to party. We're fighting to get our videos back to Blockbuster by midnight. Be kind and please rewind. It's all about the 80s. And also in the church in the 80s, we rebelled against everything because everything was the devil. Everything was the devil. Everything was wrong. We fought each other. We fought against Cabbage Patch. That's the devil. Smurfs. That's the devil. He-Man cartoons. All that stuff. Devil, devil, devil. It's all the devil. Any rock music, we played it backwards. Kill your parents. Kill your parents. Everything was demonic and the devil. We rebelled against all of it. And the crazy thing was not just what we were rebelling against, but in the 80s, even the way that we fought each other was different. Now, maybe not in the church, but the way that you would fight someone was not just get into a fist fight with someone. We would fight people on the dance floor with breakdancing. Get your boys and you line up against each other. Oh yeah, you're talking that mess, you know? Hit you with one of these. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. That used to be the way that you would fight people, whoever had the better dance moves. Oh, that dude really, really gave it to him. It was a strange time. And so we're going to take ourselves over the next 10 weeks back to the 80s and kind of focus on some things that happened in our world and also some things that were happening inside the church. And I believe that as we dig into God's Word and kind of refer it back to the 80s, God has some powerful things that He wants to share with us about what's happening today. Today, in 2 Kings chapter 18, we're going to deal with our very first true rebel heart person. We're going to talk about King Hezekiah. So when it describes him in God's Word, it tells us this in its description of him and his conduct. It says he was a king that did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. That's a good scripture right there. He did what was right. Not just what people thought was right. He did what the Lord said was right. And it says he removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake that Moses had made, for up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It's like, we made this, and now you're worshiping it. What are you doing? How about that part when God says, you're not to make any graven image, you're not to bow down to anything else, and like, oh yeah, but this, it's a snake. We need to offer incense to that. What are you doing? He got rid of all that. He says, no. We're going to rebel against that stuff. This is not right. This is not the way that God's people are supposed to be worshiping. It says this, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. I love that scripture. He trusted God. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He stood alone. He is the man. It says he held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. If that could just be said about me for the rest of my life, that would be a great thing to say in description of me and my life. Hopefully you could say that about yourself as well. I held fast to the things of the Lord. I did not stop following the Lord. All the days of my life, I finished well. That's the goal, isn't it? To finish well. He did not stop following the Lord. He kept the commands that the Lord had given Moses, and it says, the Lord was with him. It goes on to describe him like this. God gave him success in whatever he undertook. I think somebody ought to underline that scripture right there. That's a good one to claim as your life scripture. Forget about that Philippians 4:13 stuff. Tattoo that one. God gave him success in whatever he undertook. I want you to see that as his zeal for the Lord consumed everything that he did, as he turned the nation back towards the Lord. The Bible says God gave him great prosperity, great success, because he captured the heart of God by rebelling against the things that were wrong. It says this, the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. And look at this. He rebelled, somebody say rebelled, against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. I'm not here to serve you. He said, I'm serving the Lord. I'm rebelling against the things that are wrong. I'm submitting to the things that are right. And it's in here that we kind of find the basic issues that we're going to talk about over the next 10 weeks. What does it mean to biblically rebel against something? What does it mean to biblically submit to something? There's something I want to make sure that we see. We're going to start off with this. At the core of the greatest heroes in Christianity, we find a common theme: submitted rebellion. Submitted rebellion. So King Hezekiah was completely submitted to the Lord in all the ways that he operated, in the ways of his heart and in his actions, and God gave him success. And because of that, because he was submitted to the Lord, he was able to rebel against the right things, and God gave him great prosperity in the middle of it. The same can be said for me and you here today. If we learn how to submit our spirits to the Lord, he will tell us what things to rebel against. Let me just remind you, we live in some very rebellious times, and we're rebelling against everything. We often do that, by the way, when we're scared. We do that when we're a little anxious. We do that when we're worried. We'll find ourselves not knowing really what we're against, but we don't like it. What do we want? Change. How are we going to do it? We don't know. When do we want it? Right now, especially during election season. We'll find ourselves rebelling against the system and against people. We'll find ourselves rebelling against the political party. Why? Because it's in our nature to do so. We want to stand for something. We want to say, I got this on lock, and I know that this is right and this is wrong. Here's the question. What does God's word say? What does God's word say? What are the proper things to rebel against? And what are the things that we're supposed to be submitting to? There's many, many biblical heroes that show us how to rebel against what's wrong and how to submit to what's right. So what is a rebel exactly? Webster's defines a rebel as someone who rises up in opposition of an authority or a power. Someone who rises up in opposition of an authority or power. So it's not necessarily bad or good. Depends on what you're rising up against. The Apostle Paul tells the church that we don't do battle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places, against principalities, against authorities, things that are going on in the spiritual realm. He said, we're supposed to be rebelling against that stuff. How do we do that? Over the next few weeks, we're going to talk more about what that means. What does it mean for us to rebel against the things that God's word says to rebel against? How do we submit biblically to the right things? So if we're going to be understanding godly rebellion and godly submission, I want to give you three things that I think are really important that we're going to kind of build everything off in the next few weeks. Here's the first of three things I want to share with you. Number one, rebellion can be good or bad depending on the opposition. Somebody say amen. Rebellion can be good or bad depending on the opposition. So in the 80s, one of the things that happened was our government did something that was really genius, honestly. It might have been the last thing that they did that was genius. But they come up with a new slogan, a new program in their effort to squash the war on drugs. And they recognize that inside of every person, somewhere in those teenage years, there's a rebel's heart. Now, the problem is The problem is, up until this time, that rebellious heart had been taken over by the hippies in the 60s, and it said, if you want to be a rebel, what you should do is become an addict. Drop out of society, become a drug addict. Well, by the 80s, people realized that's probably not the way to go. And so they came up with something that helped to rebrand that rebellious spirit that's inside of each of us towards something positive. And Nancy Reagan coined a phrase that was three words. Many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. It was called, just say no. Just say no. Now, did it work? We don't know. But the genius is, it took that same urge to rebel and turned it into something positive. Just say no to what? To drugs. Just say no. I don't want that kind of lifestyle. I don't want to become an addict. Just say no. And the same is very much true for us. When the Bible talks about rebellion, there is a very wicked rebellion that can happen inside of our hearts, or there's a godly rebellion, depending upon what we're opposing. Inside of each of us is a rebellious heart, and it needs opposition. We want to fight. We want to say no. We want to disagree. We want to side with the rebels. There's a reason why when you're watching Star Wars, nobody cheers for the stormtroopers. We side with the resistance. Why? Because we feel like we're a part of it. We like the characters. I want to be on that side. When you're watching the Hunger Games, you're not about, oh, I love Snow. He's my favorite. No, you don't. Said no one ever. When you're watching The Matrix, it's like, oh, I love those agents. No, you don't. We like the resistance. Why? Because we bond to it. Inside of each of us is that rebel heart. And Hollywood understands we want to be with the other guys, the ones that stand up and speak truth to power, the ones that know how to rebel and how to resist. It's inside of each of us. And here's the beautiful thing. When you're born again, when you ask Christ to come into your heart, here's the beautiful thing. When we're born again, God doesn't take away our personality. What does he do? He redeems it. Yes. He says, that same rebellious spirit, I want to take that and I want to redeem it for something that's pure and holy and right. I want to take that anger that you feel on the inside and turn it towards something that's wrong. And instead of us just getting angry at everyone over every single thing, God says, no, 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 let me show you what to be angry at. Let me show you what righteous anger looks like. Let me show you about Jesus, the one who was angry and did not sin. There's a rebel heart in each side of us that God wants to redeem and to restore. We find this in Ezekiel chapter 36. God says, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to put a new spirit inside of you. It's not going to be the same rebel's heart that just rebels against all authority. It's going to rebel against the wrong authority. That's what it means to have a rebel's heart. Here's the second truth I want to share with you. Number two, submission. When we talk about that word submit, submission is good or bad depending on the authority. Submission is good or bad depending on the authority. Something that happened within a lot of 80s evangelical churches is the popularity of the word submit. Submit, and we took that word and just twisted it into all kinds of different things so that we could make people do one thing, behave. Just behave, for the love of God, behave. And we would say, you need to submit. So men, you better submit to each other. Guys, you better submit to the pastor. Ladies, you better submit to your husband. And what were we basically saying? You better follow orders. You better not have any more opinions. You better let go of that rebellious heart. And in our theology of the word submission, we've given away one of our greatest assets, a rebel heart that can be redeemed and used for a powerful God-given purpose. Because we're told to sit down and shut up. Just go along. Become a pushover. No, biblical submission is often miscategorized as being a pushover. That is not what that word means. It's not what it's ever meant. That's the English version of the word submit. It means to lose. No, 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 no. In the original language, the Greek language, when we see the word submit, it's the Greek word huputasso. Tasso meaning underneath, hupu, to arrange underneath. Okay, well, how in the world does that mean just to lose? No, no, no. It doesn't mean to lose. To arrange underneath, submit is a military term. It's a military strategy. It means to take all your troops, all your power, to put it underneath the authority of the chain of command because we're at war. We know what we're supposed to be doing. We know where to attack. We know where the enemy is. We know what our part is. We know our role. We have very clear orders. This is the mind of a submitted heart. This is what it means to be submitted in the midst of spiritual warfare, to arrange troops underneath the authority of the one that's in charge. So this is what we're going to say. Biblical submission is what? Power, organized, and under command. Say that with me if you would. Power, organized, and under command. Completely different than just lay down your rights. No more opinions. You don't have a say. You better sit down and shut up and behave. That's not what that means. It's power, organized, under command. This is what the Lord is telling us to do. We get this, by the way, from James chapter 4, verse 7. It's going to become the theme verse that you're going to see over and over. And we're going to quote this together. So say this with me. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit, resist. Notice the two coexisting within a command that God is giving us through James. Learn how to submit to the right things so that you can rebel against these things that we know are wrong. Submit, resist. What does it mean to submit ourselves to God? That means take all of our strategies, our gifts, our personalities, and say, Lord, I am submitted completely to you. Help me to be able to do warfare. Help me to resist. Help me to have victory over the evil one by submission to you. It's a warfare term. Is everybody still with me? You get this? Biblical submission shows us something completely different in the Americanized version of submission. Let me say it this way. There is great power in submission to God. Somebody needs to hear that today. There's great power. The best version of you is a submitted version of you. Lord, I'm here to be used by you. I'm here to do what you say. I'm underneath the authority of your word. I'm using everything that I have, and I lay it at your feet. Use me. That's a submitted life. So that I can resist the things that are wrong, so I can resist what is evil, so I can stand strong against whatever opposes the kingdom of heaven. That's the kind of life that I want to live, one with a rebellious heart, but a submitted spirit, rebelling against the right things, submitting to what is absolutely biblical. Here's what we know. There's great power in submission to God. Now, something that was very prevalent in the 80s was a lot of stories about dirty cops. Anybody remember those movies and TV shows? It's all about this cop that kind of was edgy and walked the line and would just abuse people and in the name of justice. Well, I got the job done. Like, there was actually a lot of actual dirty cops, especially, by the way, in New York City. If you've never heard the story of the 75th Precinct, you need to go down the rabbit hole of the 75th Precinct, especially Officer Michael Dowd. He was a detective. He was in charge of a small squad. And this dude took all of his police academy training and all of his authority and all of his friends in high places and became a cocaine kingpin. He's a dope dealer and a completely corrupt police officer. One of the craziest stories, if you've ever gone down this rabbit hole, you'll see. There was a guy that was going to testify against another drug dealer, and Michael Dowd arrests this guy, and instead of turning him over to the feds, he turns him back over to the drug dealer. Like, what in the world? And this guy's making thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars a week becoming the protection for drug dealers. What a crazy thing. And most of us would look at someone like that and be like, what in the world is, what kind of a police officer would do that? And I want you to see that you can't help but look at that story and recognize the hypocrisy in our own lives. Because a police officer that has chosen not to follow protocol, not to obey commanding officers, to use their weapons and tactics for themselves is a criminal. And he deserved the 20 years that they gave him in prison. He deserved it. But what about us? What about us that choose not to submit to the authority of Christ, that only does what we want to do when we want to do it? How can we not see that we're very much like a dirty cop? How we rebel against things that God's word says, no, you're supposed to submit to that. How dare us As we're looking at people like that, it's easy for us to say, yeah, that's the bad guy, and not recognize that in ourselves. Let me remind you of something. Submission is only submission when you don't agree. Submission is only submission when you don't agree. But you trust the one that's in charge. And by the way, as I'm saying this, I want to make sure that you hear very perfectly clear. I'm not the one in charge. He's in charge. This is his church. It's always been his church. And our job as leaders and as the body of Christ is to follow the authority of the head, of the one that is in charge. So rebellion can be good or bad depending on opposition. Submission is good or bad depending on the authority. Here's the third and final thing. I must learn to rebel and to submit God's way. I gotta learn how to rebel and submit God's way. Otherwise, I'm gonna find myself constantly rebelling against things that God says, this is good for you. This is right. Let me remind you of this. This might be an easy way for us to handle this. If you rebel against everything, you're just mean. And if you submit to everything, you're irrelevant. We have to understand how to do this God's way. Otherwise, we become abrasive. We become rebels without a cause, just angry about everything at all times. Or we just become pushovers. Oh, I'm just here to submit. Somebody tell me what to do. Like, no. I have to learn how to do this God's way. Lord, when do I fight? When do I stand strong and say, this is not right? And Lord, when do I say, I don't like this, but I know that your word tells me this is right, and I submit. How do I do that? Let me just remind you of this, that if I don't submit my mind and my emotions, I will become my own worst enemy, and I will consistently rebel against God's word. I'll find myself in a place where I'm constantly doing what I want to do for my own benefit and only serving a God that always agrees with me. That's not God. That's you. I have to learn how to submit first and foremost in the area of my own thoughts. And this is where we're gonna start this week, because this is the most important thing that we're gonna be able to talk about today. Everything else that we do in this series is gonna be built around that simple idea. Learning to rebel first and foremost against negative thinking and thoughts that line up against the authority of God's word. Why is that so important? I wanna show you what the writer of Romans says in chapter 8. It says, the mind that is governed by the flesh, look at this, is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. That means when you're in charge of your own thoughts, when you're letting your flesh determine how you think, how you process, you set yourself up as an outlaw. You set yourself up as one who rebels against the Lord. It says it can't submit. It has no choice but to rebel against God. Why? Because it's only listening to you. So the first battleground that I'm gonna have to learn how to fight a good biblical war on is right here. It's not out there, it's here. I have to start thinking about what I'm thinking about. I have to start paying attention to the things that are running around inside this old noodle. And those things have to become submitted to the authority of God's law. Otherwise, we will constantly be in rebellion against God, and we will become our own worst enemy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I see a lot of head nods like, yeah. Let me just remind you, your enemy is not flesh and blood. Your enemy's right here. I'm fighting against my own flesh. I'm fighting against spiritual principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. There's a very real war that is dependent upon my submission to what is right. So biblical rebellion starts with submitting my daily thoughts to God. Biblical rebellion, God's way, starts with submitting my daily thoughts to God. I want to remind you of what this looks like practically. In my own life, something that I've started doing is, let me give you the best way to remember this, is starting my day with scripture. And the best way to remember that is scripture before screens. Say that with me, scripture before screens. Scripture before screens. What's that gonna help me to do? It sets the tone for my day of what I'm gonna submit to. He gets first place. Lord, let your word go first. And then I'm gonna refer to that word that I'm reading as I go throughout my day. Scripture before screens. It doesn't matter if you understand the whole thing. What matters is that your heart is submitted to the Lord. Lord, I'm trying. Help me to understand. And the daily discipline of learning how to spend time in scripture before screens helps me to start having victory over the way that I think. This is backed up in scripture, by the way. 2 Corinthians 10 gives us this key. It says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. How do we do that? It says, we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. I'm gonna make it submit to Christ. I'm gonna make what? My thoughts. I'm gonna take captive. Those things are not just gonna run loose in my mind anymore. I'm gonna take authority over the way that I think and say, Lord, I want this to submit to you and to the authority of your words. Because long before something becomes a sin or a habit or a stronghold, something that you can't find yourself ever able to get out of, it starts with a thought. And if I can submit the way that I think to the authority of God's law, I can start rebelling against the right things. It says we demolish arguments by taking those thoughts captive and placing them underneath the authority, make them obedient to Christ. So what are we rebelling against? I wanna make sure that you see this. I'll put it on the screen. I will rebel against an unsubmitted mind. Say that with me if you would. I will rebel against an unsubmitted mind. I'm gonna think about what I'm thinking about. For many of us, this is gonna be the greatest key that you could ever possibly get today. This is gonna be the thing that sets you free. When you recognize that you don't have to think about what you're thinking about. No, you don't. But I can take thoughts into captivity and make my thoughts submit to the authority of Christ. Now, your mind is a powerful thing. And when it learns to submit to the authority of Christ, you're gonna find the best version of you. You're gonna find a version that's not stuck in the same places. Give yourself a chance. Scripture before screens is what I'm gonna challenge you to do this week. And we're gonna dive deeper into this in groups. I hope that you're gonna get into some groups. There's some great things we wanna share with you. And you're gonna see some powerful examples of some people that are living in your city, doing life with you, that are walking through some great and powerful issues. And some of them are walking through some dark days and they need some help. You're not alone. But all of us can learn and grow together. So over the next few weeks, we're gonna talk about what it means to rebel biblically, to submit biblically. And I wanna encourage you to take the challenge this week to think about what you're thinking about. You know, worry does not have to consume your day. Your anxieties do not have to consume your day. The way that you think does not have to be in charge. God's word gives us a better way. It says, take those thoughts captive. You know, in my own way, when I first heard this scripture, this is one of the scriptures that just kind of became my life verse and helped me to become what I am today. It gave me a lot of freedom when I recognized I don't have to say that's just the way I am anymore. That's just how my mind works. No, the Lord has redeemed that. And I recognize I can change the way that I think if I put God's word first and ask the Lord to help me. And then these thoughts that are going into my mind, when I recognize, wait a minute, that's not right, I can say, no, stop right there. And I will visualize a stop sign, like an actual stop sign, S-T-O-P, big white letters on a big right sign, stop. And say, does this line up with God's word? Or am I going down a bad path? I need to stop this train right now before it goes any farther. Learning how to just put some simple things like that in the way of my thought process has helped me to get off at the station long before this thing goes off a cliff. And I think if we can be honest today, many of us in this place today, if we could just get victory over the way that we think, we would find ourselves in a completely different place. As a matter of fact, the person that you were last year will not be the person that you are next year. You're not stuck thinking about the same old things that have only taken you where you've already been. So as we finish up today, I want to give a chance to maybe respond to what God might be telling you. I wanna set your faith level for a sense of expectancy for God to do great things in your heart. I'm believing that you can take that rebel's heart that you were born with and channel it to the right way, channel it down the right direction. We can submit our spirit, submit our thoughts to the Lord and watch what God can do. It's a powerful, powerful change that's gonna begin to happen in each of our lives. I think it's gonna be groundbreaking and you need this. If you're not in a group, you're gonna need to get in a group. It's gonna be good for you. Please hear me. It's good for you. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? As we're finishing up today, how many of us would say by the simple lifting of our hand, Pastor, I am fighting my greatest battles inside of my mind. It's not out there. It's not against people right now. Lord, I'm fighting it in my own mind. Is that you? Let me just see your hand all across this place. Yeah, the majority of the hands are up. You're not alone. You can place your hands down. If I could just get victory over my thoughts, if I could just get victory over the way that I'm thinking, that would be a huge help to me. Let me pray for you. Father, right now, Lord, we admit that there are times that we haven't trusted you with the way that we think. And Lord, our thinking has gotten out of control. Our thoughts and our worries, our anxieties, our fears, all those things. When we leave them unchecked, they start drowning out your voice, and it's hard to hear you. So Father, we ask for help. We ask that over the course of this week that your voice would speak louder than our fears and worries, our concerns, that we would have victory over the way that we think. Lord, as we devote ourselves to your word first, I pray that you would bring mountain-moving, chain-breaking deliverance. I pray that this would be a week of great peace. I pray that there would be breakthrough. I pray that they would sleep better. That those that are responding to this, Lord, I pray that they would rest, that they'd be able to breathe deep and to relax, that they would hear your voice, that you'd speak to them clearly, saying things like, I'm in control, I got this. Rest, be still. Lord, we remind ourselves that we can be still and know that you're God. I'm not God. We submit to you right now. Lord, I pray for great victory over our thoughts this week. I ask these things in the name of Jesus. And now with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you were even raised in church, but you've been far from God and you need to come home. You might not know how to do that. My friend, if you want a relationship with Jesus or if you need to come home, I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me. And I'll even tell you what to say. I just want to help you like somebody helped me one time. So would you pray this prayer with me? If you want a relationship with the Lord, pray this with me. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you came and died, and I believe you rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for my sins. I have messed up. I have sinned. I ask you to forgive me. I give my life to you right now. Thank you for saving me. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, my friend, if that was you and you actually prayed that prayer with no one else looking around, would you just do me a favor? Would you guys that just pray with me go ahead and look up at me and slip up your hand and say, that was me. I did. I prayed that prayer. Good. I prayed that prayer. Yes, ma'am. I see you. Good for you. Good. Those of you that pray that prayer, I want you to know that there is a phone number appearing behind me on a screen. I want to invite you to text me. Text the words, I prayed, to that number. If you're watching online, that number is available for you as well. I'm going to send you the link to some things that I prepared that's my gift to you. It's a free gift. It will help you understand what just happened and what you should do next. It's the greatest honor of my life to help people know Jesus better, and I'm proud of you. Good for you. Well, High Ridge family, go ahead and look up at me if you would. Then let's stand up together. As we finish up our service together today, I want to invite our elders and their wives forward. These guys are going to remain at the front as the service ends to be available to pray for you about anything that you might need prayer for. As always, if you're watching online, first of all, I want to say thank you. If you liked what you heard today, if you believe our world needs to hear this message, do us a massive favor and click the share button. If you're watching here and you feel like your friends need to hear that as well, click the share button. It always means a lot to us when you're able to do that. God is using your social media to be able to do great things that we could never do on our own. And I love that every single week, we're having a lot of people around the world watch this service. People are responding every week, getting saved every week, asking for prayer every week, getting connected to a home church, even if they don't live in our country. It's a beautiful, powerful thing that we're able to do when you choose to share this video. Also want to say thank you to all of you who are being generous and supporting this ministry. It takes a lot of money to run this place. And I'm so thankful that I don't have to stand up here every week and beg you for your support. You guys are super generous. And let me just say thank you. Thank you very much for that. There's a couple things coming up. We are in Unite Week. This is happening Thursday night at the Belcher Center. It's going to be awesome. I love watching the body of Christ come together. We have John Maxwell live and in person coming here this Thursday night. That's at the Belcher Center. Uniteandlead.com is where you can get some tickets. I think James, if Pastor James is here, he might be in the back somewhere. If you know Pastor James is wearing one of these shirts like this, he's the British guy that speaks every once in a while and half British, half Texas slang. You might not understand it, but he does have some free tickets. And if First Service didn't grab those, you're more than welcome to have those. If you enter the code Maxwell24, if you're buying online, you get a massive discount, and that's a free gift to you. Not free, but it's a much, much cheaper version of that. But we would love to, for you to be a part of what God is doing in Longview. Please look at me. Other cities don't get this. The body of Christ does not come together and work together in unity to make the city better. That doesn't happen. And we're getting to see what happens when we do. We believe in Psalm 133, God says, it's good and it's pleasant for his brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. It says, for their God commands a blessing. I want you to be a part of getting the blessing of what happens when we dwell together in unity. Can you receive that, everybody? Yeah. Also, ladies, let me just tell you, in October, we have our favorite. This is our women's event that is coming up, and it is going to be unlike no other. I cannot wait for you ladies to experience what's going to happen at that amazing, amazing event. And so, guys, it's a chance for us to serve our ladies and watch them be able to connect with each other, connect to the Lord. We have Demi Tebow coming here. This is Miss Universe, Tim Tebow's wife, in the building, live and in person. She is coming here, and she has an amazing book. Let me just tell you, this is not Miss America. This is Miss Universe coming here. It was funny that the last time me and my wife were, my wife had met her, and she'd walked up to me, and my wife was standing on the right, she's on my left, and she whispers in my ear, hey, I like your outfit, very, very nice. And then she walks on, and my wife said, what did she say to you? I'm like, easy. She said, what did she say? I said, Miss Universe told me I'm the most handsome man she's ever seen in her life. She just starts laughing. I'm like, she did. Not true at all. But anyways, there's some amazing people, and they've agreed to come here, and so we want you to be a part of that. We cannot wait to see what happens when you ladies get together, and it's just going to be cool. That's going to be an awesome time. For everybody else, let me pray for you and bless you and send you out. Father, would you bless my friends with an amazing week, hearing your voice, submitting to you, learning how to process scripture before screens. I pray that you would speak to them as they let your word govern their day. Father, we love you. We ask that you would bless each and every person with an amazing week. In Jesus' name, and all of us said together, amen. God bless you as you go. Go Cowboys.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support, and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.